The first was an elderly lady, the latter wore a veil over the face so that I could not see what she looked like. They rode slowly and I followed them as closely as I could. I succeeded in coming closer so I could tickle her horse, and the horse jumped. She was about to lose balance, and dropped her whip. I handed it to her. The veil was blown aside, and yes, it was her. His former runaway or stolen wife. No doubt, it was her. I recognized the thank you as she spoke. I could hear that she was Swedish. But she had not recognized me. Now it was important not to lose a moment. My wife, I said, you certainly would not take offense to receive a greeting from the knight Helgason. As the name was mentioned, her face blushed, and she swayed in the saddle. I gave the horse a rap, and the horse lurched to the side, and she fell with a cry into my arms. Eric, who rode a few steps ahead, turned and immediately jumped off his horse. How do you dare to scare the horse making my wife fall off? He bellowed. She was my wife before you stole her, and now I want her back. You're a vagabond, what are you talking about? I am Eric Helgason. I have been looking for you in both Norway and Denmark. Now I've finally found you, and you shall not escape my vengeance. Before he could draw his sword, I rushed at him and stuck a dagger into his chest. People rushed in from all sides. I was arrested and my hands were tied behind me, and I was taken as a prisoner to the castle. Here they made a short judgment. Injetur, who could possibly have saved me, would not talk or witness the accuracy of my information. I was not believed. They considered me an ordinary thief and hung me in the nearest tree. Chapter 5. Back in the darkness, it is terrible to wake up after such an end to an earthly life. It is indescribable in words. It meant so much of sheer physical pain, as from the discarded physical body which had been transferred to the astral body. It certainly is not surprising if you think you are still living on earth, a prey to all the sufferings that bodily nerves felt. These pains, dying gradually, instead came to life as spiritual pains. Martyrdom, they are far more terrible than the physical pain itself. They cut their claws into the soul and leave it no peace than what may possibly occur during shorter or longer periods of unconscious stupor. It is nature's benevolent help since you are not bothered by the pain to suffer any more. But one is awakened again and again and inner pains returns, more intense the more consciousness awakens. And they do not leave the wretched until they accomplish its task to bend him in sincere and humble repentance. I want to try to give you, who read these lines, a faint idea of hell I now woke up in. Earlier I have given some indication of how I suffered under similar conditions after my last horrible divorce from earth. Now my situation was even more difficult because I, though more developed, and despite my good intentions, repeated the same crime. It's terrible to see how we often repeat the same mistakes in life after life, although we in the free state, on higher astral levels one enters after the thought cleaning period, sincerely regretted it and incarnate again with the best intentions to subdue our evil nature. When one is blindfolded again, we no longer recognize our former adversaries, and when we meet them, the spark of hatred intuitively wake up. It still lies a small hot coal under the ashes and flares up to new action. It would be quite hopeless to see this act of the crime, if we do not, by further monitoring of developments, find the confirmation that evil ultimately must be eradicated. But until you with the blindfold can approach your former enemy and reach out a hand, the hatred will harbor inside. It should be fully wiped out, and the evil eradicated. But still, my hatred and my wild nature was stronger than my resolutions. It brought me down, and brought me down again into the darkness. Yes, dark there was in fact. The only thing that cast a faint glow was the blood that trickled down the rocky walls, around on the ground and gathered in its cavities. It was as if it had life of its own as it was moving. A faint light shone, but it was a ghastly glow, that spread around us. When I woke up to consciousness I was in a cave on one of bloody, slippery stone slabs. I fumbled around and came upon a dead body. It was lying face down on the ground. I turned its head and despite the deep twilight of the day, I recognized the man I had just murdered. Terrified, I rushed up and wanted to run away, but it was as if someone grabbed me by the leg. I tripped and fell prostrate in a pool of blood. Then I looked more closely. I was chained to the victim's body. I tried to pull it off, but it defied all my efforts. It was attached to a shackle on the ankle. Afterwards, I came to understand that this was merely a thought image which densified, so that for me it was equally as solid as my own body. I had been through the intense hatred so long cherished, and most recently, by my misdeed, was so tied to this, my mind fetuses, that I could not tear myself away. It was a chain which I had forged me to, and now this image had terror and an appalling reality to me. I was thus a prisoner in this open cave, for if I had the power to carry with me the dead body I would gain nothing thereby, since I could not get rid of him. I had no recollection of I being hanged, and still did not understand. I was dead and thought this was an infernal punishment which the Danes had fought out to torment me. At first I fell into anger and despair, filling the air with lamentations and curses, but all was quiet around me. The only sound I could hear was the echo of my own voice, echoing from the cliffs. Gradually, I became calmer. It did not help no matter how much I cried and moaned, so I tried to sleep. I succeeded sleeping for a short time, but then again it was as if someone had pulled my chain and I was startled and once again I awoke with all hell within me. So passed the time, a long time I had not any idea. In fact, it was hardly more than a year in earthly reckoning, but to me it seemed like a long life. Then there was a change in my condition. I started to feel a bit tired of myself, and therefore felt I also noticed a change in my external environment. The darkness was no longer so deep, and the blood that flowed on the ground had disappeared. But my chain still tied me to the dead body, lying there without having undergone any decay. I was deeply depressed and looked at my sacrifice. Would I never become free from this terrible shadow, with which I had so long been linked? Yes, for a shadow it was. This I had eventually found out. This body, which first appeared horrifying to me, had become a scary ghost, like Aaron still for my imagination, perceived as solid. What should I do to get rid of it? Could I in any way be reconciled with this dead person and persuade him to leave me? The thought grinded on and on in my head, until I became so tired that I felt to ground with a face in my hands. Then I suddenly felt a hand on my head. I looked up. Holy Mother of God! It was him, Eric, who was standing before me alive. Help! Help! I cried in utter despair. What do you want me? I want to help you, he replied with a friendly smile. You have had such an unpleasant time here. But I murdered you. Did you not fall for my dagger and die? How can you stand before me all alive? My body is dead, but of course, I live. I do not understand. Your dead body is right here beside me. I cannot get rid of it no matter how hard I toil, and yet you are alive? Yes, and you too are alive, though you were hanged in Skanderborg, don't you remember? I was hanged? No way, I've been sitting here for years and years waiting for my judgment. But then they had the infernal cruelty to the chain me to a corpse, which I think to be yours. Eric. Eric. If you knew what I suffered. I know, but now I think you have suffered enough. No more, will I then not be killed? You are, what you call dead. Your body decays in Jutland's earth, but your soul lives, as do mine, and now you sit here in the spirit world, waiting for something. Yes, I am waiting to be free. I think you are waiting something else first. What? You expect that your soul will tell you what you did to me was wrong. It has been said that not one, but a thousand times. But you have not listened, is it not so? Yes, sure. Well, what are you waiting for? You, yourself, must admit that your spirit is right. It took me a moment before answering. Maybe, but I do not understand. My spirit and myself, are they different people then? Your spirit is the divine spark within you, your conscience, the essence of your being. You yourself are all yours, your thoughts, your intentions, your desires. You're such as you walk and is. He was sitting on a rock next to me and gave me his hand. The challenge now, he continued, is that you agree with your conscience. Eric, how is it that you can sit here and say that to me? Are you not angry with me because I took your life? Are you not afraid that I can do it again? No, I'm not angry or scared. I've been there, but I have learned to understand that such feelings keeps us in the dark while friendly feelings lift us into the light. Who taught you that? An old father who took care of me when I was snatched away from life. He has also come to see you and wanted to help you, but you have not obeyed him. It's not true, he has never been here. Well, we have both been here with you several times, but you have not seen or heard of us, or you were not finished with your lower self. What do you mean? You have not even wanted to listen to the voice within. Now, we thought you might be willing, and therefore we are here again. You're alone, why do you say we? Peter Bullard standing here next to you. Don't you see him? Let me touch your eyes that they may be opened. And so he did, and when I opened them I saw a shining figure, who stretched out his hands in blessing over me. I was so overwhelmed by the sight, then I knelt before him. Pious Father, I said, I'm not worthy of your blessing. I am a cruel and hateful man who murdered my brother. Pray for my soul. I have prayed for you, and now my prayers have been heard. Glory be to him who is love. Chapter 6. It lightens. Diminishing darkness. It is wonderful how easily our external circumstances change in the astral world, when your sense of direction is different, and it works like magic, and yet it is quite natural. How can we observe the nature of the earth all around us in the happy sunshine mood, when we ourselves are in disharmony with our surroundings? Whereas the same environment may seem like a dreary place of banishment, when we tantrum go and brood over evil thoughts. Here, in the astral, Rune remark, where we are in a sense, able to create our world around us, this affects our mood, much more powerful. The chain on my foot was gone and even the dead body I had been firmly attached to. The darkness vanished, and a pleasant twilight conceded a rather broad view of a wild mountain landscape, which was certainly devoid of all vegetation, yet it formed a very pleasing image. Now you have the right to leave this gloomy region, said Father Ulbert. You may want to follow us. We will show you the way to a more comfortable dwelling. I was quick to grasp the leading hand and then started our walk. The road was steep and rocky, and I found it very difficult to follow the others, who with the greatest ease soared up the ledges and jumped across the crevices. When things seemed too difficult, the painter handed me a flap of his jacket which embodied me with the magical power to almost soar. Soon the nature, surroundings, changed and we came out on a wide curvy road up a steep hillside. A stream rippled between the stones. I bent down and drank eagerly the chilly refreshing water. I became a different person with increased vigor and strength, continuing the walk with my new friends. On the road, Eric told, how ever since the night when he sang his poem to Injeturd and as a reward got her hair lid, had loved her with a romantic love. But he never dared to reveal how he always brought her cap by his heart and in silence passed and hoped that this amulet would be able to once again draw them together. Then came the deplorable commotion at Uppsala, and now he thought that they would never see each other again. But a few years later came the great miracle, which he never completely ceased to hope for. One evening at sunset, a young knight followed by his old squire rode to his house. His astonishment was great when he in the last recognized Injeturd. She did as she said, to recover her cap, but instead she gave herself so completely over, that only can do, that who love. From her girdle, she took up the papal document, which declared her marriage dissolved. It had gone a year and a half before the news came back from Rome, but on the same day she received it, she had saddled her horse and... Enough, enough. I interrupted, it storms in my temples, I do not want to hear more, it feels as if something inside me would break. I threw myself on the ground and wept like a child. Eric was very saddened that his frankness had unpulled the old wounds and caused me pain. A Bulrid, which passed quietly and listened to Eric's story, sat down beside me and put his hand on my head. It eased and I was calm again. The wounds still bleed, he said, but I know a drug, which connects and heals. I looked at him. You are, as you become stronger, to go down and find her that you love. She still lives on this earth. Eric made a weak protest, but Dibald interrupted him. You should follow him and show him the way. It was night on earth when we sometime later visited her, who had been our both's wife. She was sleeping in her room. Eric brought his lute and sang a ballad. In doing so she woke up, not her physical body. It was still fast asleep, but her soul, and it was wonderful to see how this, that she dressed in her astral body, floated out of the physical body. Only then did I really know her. The sleeping body, which, incidentally, I could make out only vague, was old, but freed from this body. She was young and handsome, more handsome than I had ever seen her. And now I could clearly see her. She was wrapped in a thin white dress, which gracefully followed the body forms. She immediately recognized Eric and went to him. She had not seen me yet. I was so gray that I was not noticeable in the dark corner of the room where I retired. Here I was now witness to a rendezvous between the two, in whose life I had so deeply intervened. At first it upset me so that I was ready to throw myself between them to put an end to the painful scene, but to my great surprise, I noticed that I could not move. I was like paralyzed, nor could I get a word across my lips. Instead, a voice spoke within me with an authoritative voice, which I could not silence. What right do you have for this woman who never loved you and that you never had any warmer feeling for? You have believed you love her, but in fact it is only yourself you loved. You still have no idea about what love is. It's your wounded vanity that has driven you to take revenge, what you consider to be an affront to your dignity, and thus you have criminally broken into their relationship and recently separated them from each other, but never success to tear the band which unites them, just as you are able re-establish the fragile link which was once attached to her by your person. Who was this voice inside of me? Is this what people call the conscience? I started to object. She was my lawful wife, and she had promised. This interrupted the talking. She was unclear about his own feelings as you about yours. Therefore you must not judge her. But now, you should make it clear to yourself that you have committed a crime that deeply offended her, as well as him. Kneel and ask her to forgive you. Thus spoke the voice more and more penetrating. I was torn between the most conflicting emotions. I was in the most frightful anguish, perfectly still with face in my hands. When I looked up again, I found myself, much to my surprise, all alone. In the bed was only Injetjert's body, which was breathing easily and sleeping. I decided to wait for her return, for I saw just now that she would go before waking up again in her body, and I wished to see her again. Yes, had I only the strength, so I wanted to. I barely had time to even think the thought to the end, until I saw them come floating back. They looked so happy. But now Injetjert saw me. She gave a cry of fright and hid behind Derek. Have no fear, I heard him say. I quant us no more evil. He regrets what he did and has had to follow me to see you once again, and beg you to forgive what I done. He followed me, while I knelt down and stretched my hands towards her. She did not answer, but waved friendly with her hand, hugged Eric and disappeared into her sleeping body. It passed a long period of years. I found myself in the same sphere, from where I last went down and now taken up in a small colony of simple and friendly people, mainly occupied with agriculture. Yes, I call them people, though they lived on the astral plane. You would call them spirits, but as they were dressed in one of this plane, exact as real a body, as the physical body is on the earth plane, I could be tempted to call them people. They were not united or similar developed, but industrious and contented with their lot. The district we lived in had a barren nature, which supplied only a scanty crop of the hard work we made on earth. But our needs were either not large. It may offend many of my readers that I talk about the spirit world, or let us say the astral plane conditions, just as if it were on earth. But it is fully justified, because the lower realms, and it was in such I spent this time, is in many respects so similar to earth that, subjectively, can hardly say wherein the difference consists. The comparison show coarse astral body, worn in the lower realms, need their nutrition and sleep as well as on earth, though to a lesser extent and conditions of life is also here a work, which is so much more burgeonsome, the more life and plantless this oil is, from which it draws its nourishment. The conditions at this plane are so infinitely varied and has so many possibilities, that it by no means, in a few words, can dismiss such a topic extensively. It also isn't my opinion to write show the wonderfully diverse conditions under which life on the astral plane presents itself. To prevent possible misunderstanding and accusation of contradictions, I will only add, that even in the lowest spheres, it is not such an imperative need to ingest food in order to maintain the astral body, as is the relationship with the physical body on Earth. The astral body cannot, as the physical, die of starvation, and it has a virtually unlimited ability to adapt to the conditions, and in particular for long periods of time, can dispense food and drink. This is particularly the situation when the spirit of perverse mind and stubbornness refuses to submit to a higher level of management, and not willing to humble himself and admit his, her guilt. Then it lives in a sleep-like condition and needs nothing for life, livelihood, a fact which has its physical counterpart in some animal species of hibernate. When the spirit then acknowledge and regret/repent of its debt and begin a new life, so to say on the right side of itself, as occurs in the lower phase the need for food, but now as a means to the welfare of the astral body, by spiritual nourishment. And the work required to get this food, is that once the healthiest recreational activities for anyone who has undergone severe mental sufferings, it is the spirit of the most blessed means to come to equilibrium again after the tensions he had undergone. I hardly need to add, that this need of food and associated work, is becoming less, and food also becoming less necessary and lighter, the higher one rises, and the result, similar the astral body also becomes lighter, until these needs in higher stages is completely eliminated. Now I had my home in a very low and terrestrial-like realm, but I could not either, as undeveloped that I was, be able to come to and thrive in a higher. I was well, where I was, and blessed the strenuous work I was subjected to. In this way passed my life for a very long period of years monotonous and obscure, with no other variation than that my time was divided between manual labor and regular teaching in a school in the neighborhood. It is therefore of no interest to dwell on this period of my life, only a small incident of this time, I will mention. For closer study of conditions on the astral plane, see the Landet Hinsides, plus English translation, of Enner. Published as book for more than 100 years in Sweden. Chapter 7. 7. A banquet in a higher realm. Eric, I met frequently. He had his residence at a slightly higher sphere, but Abelard often came to visit me. He was sincere and a faithful friend, whom I gave all my thoughts, and with whom I always receive a good advice and a safe support. At one point he told me that the voice, I thought I had heard in my mind, at Eric's in my meeting with Injetra, it was his. He had not himself been present, but through some wonderful extensions that he knew to connect his and my brain, he whispered these words to me, so I kind and clear as I heard them in my head, exactly in the same way, that you, as now writes down these lines from my dictation, listen to them with the inner ear. He asked if I did not agree with him right away, that I actually had not been attached to Injetured with some tender feelings, but that it actually was my wounded vanity that had driven me to revenge. I could not but agree with him of this. I did the best I could to analyze my feelings for her and had reached the same conclusion. Do you want to see what they do now, since she had to leave the earthly life? I've been given permission to visit them. I hesitated whether I should accept this offer, but curiosity more than a warmer interest, drove me to gratefully accept the offer. This time we did not go by foot, as Abelard had at disposal an airship, which in an incredibly short time crossed a long way. Yes, many of the earthly UFO sightings are crafts originating from those higher levels, as FX the astral mid-levels or higher R.O.REM, we landed in a region, which seemed to me like a paradise, compared to the stony rich nature I came from. On wooded height was a grand old castle without moats and drawbridges. We were expected and were very kindly received by a person, who brought us up in an old night hall. There were many people gathered, it was obviously a very big celebration. A harp player was just playing a ballad when we entered, so we stopped at the door until he was finished. Then Eric and Injetor, who has been in first place at the other end of the hall, came to meet us, and they welcomed us in the most friendly way, and invited us to rise up and take a place in their vicinity. Only now I noticed how gray and ugly my costume was in conjunction with the light and party gorgeous costumes worn by the others. The host himself was wearing a blue robe with gold embroidered borders and cap, beret in the same colors. Injetor had one with blue borders rimmed white robe, which fell in rich folds on her beautiful figure, and had on the head a diadem of gold. We were greeted with a cup of wine. Then the host sang to the lute music, a poem of love. Since the party in this way lasted a while, Eric asked Abulrad to the guests' pleasure and edification, if he would tell something from his travels in other spheres. There once lived in Svea country on earth, so he began, two brothers, who were both very different. The elder was hard, wild and a fire type, the younger was a dreamer, who at any time went alone in the forest and learned of nature, to capture great sounding, as he transformed to songs, but in one respect they were alike, as they could not endure each other, envy had seized them both. The younger envied the older of his larger belongings, the elder envied the younger his lighter mood, which made him liked by all. Between them was a bright woman and talked to bring peace between them. As long as she was in the house, all went well, but when she turned from their path, enmity broke loose between the brothers. As he described the past moves of our previous earth life, I did not understand it was Eric and me. I was therefore quite unmoved, listening to it. It ended so, he added, that the younger was an arsonist and the older a murderer. They met again in the next life as a knight at the court, and she who wanted to make peace was also there, but now had a heavy plot to cause a fight. She loved one, but married the other. It was the guilt she pulled over her. Now I began to understand that it was us three he was talking about. I was in the greatest excitement. I had been wanting to ask him to stop, for the torment to me that this would be presented for a crowd of strangers, but he spoke with such authority and also with so much tenderness in his voice that I did not dare interrupting him. He continued his account and told me how she led by an irresistible power, tore the ties and followed her feelings. But he said, in the mind, where the hatred was not yet fully extinguished, awakened a vengeance feeling, and the end was this time as a homicide. Such was their sad story, when I got to know them. I found the younger first. He was of a gentler disposition, and therefore easier to bend. He had either not from his past life any more difficult debt, but the elder was paralyzed by his own aggressive mind, and it has cost him the hard work to get to grips with himself. And then he described movingly all the sufferings I had undergone. But, he added, now he too is saved and today has come here with me to guest, whom he wronged. So changes hatred to friendship, when we serve our love master, the white Christ. I was deeply shaken by the prior's words. So I was the older brother, who in two terrestrial lives raged in hatred against him, whose guest I was. Vague memories came up, and tumbled about in my brain. I wanted to run out and hide somewhere in solitude, but Eric stopped me. I will go somewhere. No, brother, he said. You should stay here as our dear guest. Abulrad has, by telling our story, just wanted to remind you of your prior life, so that the joy of our reconciliation now might become much larger. Come and sit by my side. And you, our honored guests, rejoicing with us now as the battle now has ended and it provides us a way by sincere heart to join hands. The hardest fight has our friend probably had with his own self. Therefore is his victory greater than mine, and therefore let him so much higher be honored. It broke out in a general whisper of assent among the assembled guests, and they came one after another up and took my hand, which they cordially shook. Several of them, I saw now, were old acquaintances from my past life on earth. Injetor held out both of her hands. Welcome, dear brothers of the past, she said, now I never again need to walk among you to make peace, and I hope I never shall cause any battle. Abulrad patted me kindly on the shoulder. You may think I was hard, that reminded you of all that dark past, but it was because so much more to highlight your happiness at the moment. Here in our world, nothing is hidden,